Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
I don't like the scene of no color, folks.
I like it.
From the 12th, Sports Talk Saturday.
Ding, ding. I want chicken. I want liver. Meow mix, please deliver.
On WGR.
I don't like the scene of no color, folks.
Sports Radio 550.
That might be one of the dumbest things I've ever created.
That's good, though.
But I got in touch with the producer and me in the past because Josh Allen made a beautiful audible call against the Ravens.
Meow, meow.
Meow, 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 meow.
There was Deadpool. Like, yeah, there were a couple.
But so one of my friends caught wind of that audible, mm-hmm. sent that to me, and I'm like, I got to do something with that. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly here with you on a Sports Talk Saturday. Here we are.
Yeah, that's all we could say at this
point. Oh, boy.
This is uncharted territory for me, at least.
And the thing is that I started the show off with a different energy than I actually felt coming into the building.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I'm in bleep you mode with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, ready to go.
Yeah, you're geared up to run through the wall.
Bills,
yeah.
Punch him in the mouth. Come on, let's go. And it's different from what I did with that open, though, because we're going to be in and out of the first break here. Why? Bruce Nolan jumping in with us at 11:15. We'll give him the full meaty portion of the first hour.
Oh, yeah.
Because, A, we haven't heard from Bruce in a while. And, no. B,
no better time than the AFC
no
Championship.
No better time to do it than now. So Bruce Nolan joins us in about 10 minutes. And I just wanted to more or less, you know, hey, I probably said to use that open also so that I'm not, like, losing all of my energy.
Mm-hmm.
When I've got 7 hours of effectively pregame-ish coverage to get through.
Yes.
You and I are on until 3 o'clock today, by the way.
Today.
Extended for an hour for Sports Talk Saturday.
Graced with our voices for an extra hour.
Extra hour of that. And that'll lead you up to Sabres pregame. Sorry, guys and girls that are listening on the radios.
And not sorry for the talent on the pregame show. Sorry,
yeah,
sorry, no. Sorry for the on-ice product that is
sorry
the Buffalo
for
Sabres.
What has to follow,
yes.
Brian Koziel, Pat Malacaro, and Paul Hamilton. We apologize for what comes after the fact.
But we can't control it.
But.
Not even the coach can.
But. More importantly.
Yes.
It's. Like, this is wide range of emotions. I probably needed that open to calm me down. Because you and I are in tomorrow morning,
mm-hmm.
10 a.m. to 1 p.m. again.
We're cooking.
We're going. And I'm not going to get ahead of myself about anything
no,
else.
No, no. There's a little rosebud in there.
But there might be some thunder in the distance. Please save that. That was terrible.
It was bad. It was really bad.
But Bills Chiefs, it's going to be intense. It's going to be everything that we're every bit of stress that you felt last week magnified.
Yep. Just and not because of the on-field product necessarily, right? It's just history. Like that's it.
Not even history, it's the stakes.
Yes, because Buffalo could be making their first Super Bowl berth.
It would be the first Super Bowl berth since
the final of the four.
Yes.
Yeah. First of my lifetime, your lifetime, Evan's lifetime. Like, oh man. Like
yes.
the stakes are at an all-time high.
The stakes are at an all-time high. The stakes are so quality you can call them prime rib. That's what the stakes are.
Yeah. I would say maybe a tomahawk, but the Chiefs do the tomahawk thing, so I can't.
Yeah, no. Can't do that.
Nope.
Can't do that yourself.
Nope.
You want to enjoy the steaks.
Yes.
And that's the other thing.
That's why it's a bison steak.
It's going to be intense. It's going to be
an emotional roller coaster.
Anxious.
Yeah.
But I also want to say, make sure we enjoy it.
There are a lot of teams, and the Bills, one of them, that didn't get here for 18 years. So,
and now, let's consider the last time they went to the AFC Championship game.
They were not ready.
They had had their best season in the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
They clinched the division for the first time.
That was the first year.
Oof,
long
forever.
Time. Okay, frozen.
But then they get through these first two rounds, and then they play the Chiefs, and they are clearly not ready for it. It was their first time in the limelight.
Yep.
You know, but you had yourself a great season. This is different because now you've got the losses to Kansas City in the past.
Heartbreakers.
Heartbreakers, typically, outside of that championship game.
Yeah.
But now it also comes with some added pressure. Outside of Kansas and Missouri, the country wants you to win.
America's team is the Buffalo Bills. I don't want to hear this about the Cowboys. I know they're down to a few teams. Like, it's not the entire NFL, but
it's
America's team.
But when it comes to the AFC Championship game, the country overwhelmingly wants you to win because they're sick of this.
Yes.
This is the chance to ruin a chance at a three-peat. But more importantly, get yourself there for the first time since the 90s.
Yep. And this is, I mean, a lot of people look back to...
For a heartbroken fan base, this is everything you need.
It's literally the... I mean, it's so funny to even compare it to this. It's like you finally hit Avengers Endgame, right? You've been watching those movies for all those years. This is the culminating point right here. You finally look like the absolute... better team in a lot of ways, right? You're not as even as years past. They're not ahead of you. The Bills, actually, roster-wise, I feel more comfortable with than the Chiefs roster in a lot of ways. So this is kind of the first year where that's happened, and that's where some of the excitement comes in, but it's also where some of the worry comes in because you don't want to be overconfident, and the Chiefs still have the playmakers to do what they do.
And overall, the record is exactly what this matchup is.
Yes.
Since 2020, the Bills are, with the current iteration of the quarterbacks and coaches, 4-4. If you include the regular season and the playoffs, they are 4-4.
You go positive or negative with this loss? There's a lot on legacy there.
There's a lot to the matchup.
Mm-hmm.
It would also be the first time that you beat them in the playoffs. That's a big deal.
And it would swing the conversation of the quarterback conversation and even the team conversation, because the Bills, you could look at, okay, they get all that cap space back next year. They're in a better position. What could happen? You know, like, they might be able to set that up a rerun.
And it's more or less, it's just this, there's something exciting about it, and we can't get too much into this yet.
No.
Because we got a schedule to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Nolan, the Bruce exclusive, coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, here we bleep and go on WGR.
What's going on here, we take with a lot of love because he treats us right. How we practice, how we prepare, how we're able to come into the building, how we're able to go to meetings post-practice comfortable, and we don't have to be soldier-like uniforms, and we could just be ourselves. And a lot of places are not like that, and we're thankful for it here. He'll get some. You'll see.
You'll see.
Deion Dawkins, I love how spirited he always is.
Phenomenal.
He's talking
teammate.
About Coach Sean McDermott and how he's not up for Coach of the Year at all. And at the end of that clip, he goes, "We'll get him something. You'll see." And that's just
love that.
I love his offensive lineman of the year thought.
Deion Dawkins had a lot of good things to say yesterday, and it was great that I know Zach replayed that on Nightcap for everyone, and it was again Dawkins went in on everything. First thing he said though was they stole my candy. About his teammates, like, you know, just, and he goes, sharing is caring, but like, yeah, they took my candy, like,
yeah.
I'm like, that's the greatest first line for an interview ever.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are, Bills, Chiefs, AFC Championship. I'm thinking I'm going to be a lot more nervous for this game
tomorrow
than I was last week. Heading in, like yeah. I was at like ready. Like you and I, we had the same energy of like we're ready. Let's
confident,
do this.
So, like not an overconfidence, but a confidence that they could get it done. We were ready for it.
But our biggest thing was probably like, yeah, let's start the dang thing. Mm-hmm. Now I'm kind of just like, yeah, it's Saturday. Can we be there now? And I would imagine that Bruce Nolan agrees with us here on the Wester Hotline.
You know, it's funny. I actually have an opposite take. I know it's strange. I was far more nervous last week than I am this week. And it's not because of my speculative, are the Bills going to win? It's just because of the consequences. So if the Buffalo Bills were to have lost to the Baltimore Ravens, there had been so much bad blood on social media.
Oh, yeah.
And there had been so much nonsense that you think, I'm going to have to sit in this all off season long, where the Ravens fans are just going to be constantly in my mentions over and over and over. Now, I don't have to worry about that so much because I can just take a screenshot I'm going to use a lot over the next couple of months and just post it every single time they have something to say. And I'd be like, listen, you couldn't get it done. And so it's created this narrative in Baltimore where the Bills are to the Ravens what the Chiefs are to the Bills, which is, listen, man, you can beat us in the regular season all you want. But until you actually win when it matters, then you don't have anything to say. So it feels different for me than maybe it does for you.
I think it has to do more with Bruce. This is now their best shot at getting to a Super Bowl. And for me, I've been saying it to friends this week, and this is the first time I'll say it on air. Anyone still mad about 13 seconds officially needs to let it go because this is now their best opportunity that they have at a Super Bowl. People do conveniently forget that, yes, you had to win against Cincinnati the next week, and even the Chiefs didn't do that. This is different. This is you win. You trip up the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason for the first time with these two variations of these teams, and you're there. You're there. This is not the divisional round. This is not any of the other nonsense. This isn't the first AFC Championship game appearance with this group where, you know, they found that first sense of success and they probably, like, overpunched with their weight class. They punched higher than their weight class. This is different. They're a team expected to do this sort of thing, and here they are, entering the season not expecting to do this.
I agree with you. I think that's a fantastic point that we had historically been using those terms over and over again, that was their best chance. That was their best chance. And I don't know if that's true anymore. This is the best chance. And you brought up a great point. You still had to get past Cincinnati. And that was the Cincinnati team where their defense was essentially carrying them. You know, people think about Joe Burrow carrying them to the postseason. But in that postseason, the Cincinnati defense was the real stellar piece of that team in that postseason. And so you still had to get past them. But this time, you have to get past the Chiefs team. Now, the thing that you don't love to see is that the Chiefs are getting healthier and are better than they've been and more equipped than they've been potentially since early in the season when they lost Rashee Rice to a Patrick Mahomes friendly fire knee injury. This is probably as healthy, as well equipped as they've been. They got Hollywood Brown back. It's a different set of Bills teams than you've seen earlier in the year, but it's also a different set of Chiefs players than you saw earlier in the year. So I don't know if you can necessarily take a lot from earlier in the year because different sets of people. We didn't have Spencer Brown, and you saw how well Spencer Brown played last week against the Ravens, who are number one rush defense in the league. He was out there moving people around. And so you come into this game with some fair, you know, confidence that you're going to be able to run the ball and you're not going to need the crazy heroics that you needed at 13 seconds. It's a different ball game entirely, but it's still the best chance. So I really like the way you worded that.
Bruce, I don't know if you've seen it, the national talking heads, right? They're talking about it's Stephen A. Smith, Ryan Clark going at how this game, the offensive game plan. You mentioned a little bit of it. I guess what is your prime outlook? Is Superman putting the cape on throughout the entire game, or are they really just going to play a really complimentary game of football and just not turn the ball over like last week? Where's your head at with where they're going?
I think you saw it a little bit with the Ravens game. I think you put the cape on in the red zone. I think the idea that all of a sudden Josh Allen becomes the offense to be able to say, listen, The difference between getting into the end zone and not getting into the end zone and those 4 points against the Kansas City Chiefs is a deal breaker every single time. So when we get close to the stripe, Josh Allen, it's time. Put your cape on. But we don't necessarily need you to put it on at the 40. It would be great if you did, but we're confident on first and 10 we can run the ball. We can get 5 or 6 yards. We can stay ahead of the sticks. But then when we get close, all of a sudden, Josh Allen's rushing attempts, his rushing leeway, all of a sudden it's the, you know what? We've got a 245-pound quarterback. Let's go get six. I have a feeling that you're going to see similar stances to that, especially when you consider the fact that the Chiefs are not the run defense, although they're a great defense. They're not the run defense that the Baltimore Ravens are, and Spagnuolo is primarily dedicated to blitzing, right? So when you think that I want to avoid negative plays on offense, I feel confident I can run the ball, I think it's a put your cape on when you get close to the end zone sort of game.
Bruce Nolan of the Bruce Exclusive joining us here on the Western Hotline. Bruce, you mentioned the Chiefs in that run defense. At the time, back in the regular season, the Chiefs were the best run defense in the National Football League, as a matter of fact. The Bills tried running the football and then got away from it because they realized it was not working. But this Bills team is predicated on more balance, and even against a good Ravens run defense, I don't want to say, well, in the first half, I'll say they out-Baltimored the Ravens with the power style of football, with running it, with having more of this balance to them, and being a bit better with the time possession, long drives, and scoring touchdowns at that point. Against the Chiefs, you mentioned it. This is not the same matchup as it was in the regular season because there are different players that did not play. The Bills had some players out. The Chiefs had plenty of players out. This is now still going to be different. I'm starting to think, though, that the Bills and their best chance of winning against Kansas City is not to try to replicate anything, but just try to be themselves as they were in that stretch where they were scoring 30-plus points throughout. And I do believe that was an 8-game stretch.
I agree with you. I don't think you go into this game plan and you think to yourself, wow, you know, I really need to be somebody different. I need to be somebody that I'm not. This is a different Bills offensive line when Spencer Brown is healthy and playing, right? The Bills are a little bit southpaw-ish when it comes to their rushing attack, right? You want to jab with your right, jab with your jab breath, and all of a sudden you get tackle wrap, where you have Deion Dawkins coming around from the left side with a big smack. Like, this is the type of thing that the Bills can't do. As much as we like Ryan Vandermark as a swing tackle, it's not the same Buffalo Bills offensive line without Spencer Brown. And so there's nothing in your personnel that tells you you need to be different. And the confidence from last week tells you you don't need to be different. So if those two things together are not pushing you in the direction of I need to be a different person than I was, then there's no reason to start that. Now, obviously, if you come out and for whatever reason they've got you bottled up, then you need to be able to make adjustments. But going in with a singular game plan, going, okay, listen, we're going to come out and we're going to be something completely different than we've been all year long, I don't think it's necessary, and there's nothing in the history or the personnel would tell you that you would need to be.
Bruce, looking now, you mentioned fallout, right, from a loss in the AFC Championship. Mm-hmm. And the consequences. This would be the first time a quarterback would be 0-4 against another quarterback. What do you make of the legacy shift either way with a win or loss for Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes' rivalry?
It's going to matter, and it probably shouldn't, and that's unfortunate. Quarterbacks don't play quarterbacks, so I know that we like to be reductive, and we like to do that whole, well, you know, Patrick Mahomes is 0-4 against, you know, Tom Brady, or Tom Brady's 1-2 against Eli Manning, or whatever it is, right? And it's a shame that we do that. I know why we do that. We do that because we like being reductive, and it's way simpler than dealing into the nuances of wins and losses. But dealing with the nuances of wins and losses would give you a lot more content. So I don't know why we need to do that when we have the ability to go deeper. But the truth is that will generate the national media. It will generate the stories. It shouldn't, but it will, because we like to do that. And we do the same thing. You've seen the storylines going around social media this week about Michael Jordan's parallels. Jordan in the Bulls versus the Pistons. He was 0-3. He was 7 years in the league. All the parallels between Jordan when he finally got over the Pistons hump to Josh Allen and potentially getting over the Chiefs hump. It's unfortunate because Josh Allen isn't playing the entire team and the entire team isn't playing Josh Allen. But we know how this goes. If the Buffalo Bills do lose this game, no matter how well Josh Allen plays, the conversation from people like Ryan Clark will be, what's the score? He didn't get it done, because that's the exact same thing he said last year, which is, if the score is not in the Bills' favor, then clearly he didn't do enough, which we both know is not true, but that's the way they like to look at things at that high level. So it's going to be a narrative, and it's going to be really annoying.
I do like that Joe brought that up with you, Bruce, as the biggest champion that I know of, wins are not a quarterback stat.
Mm-hmm.
So I did find that very fitting. He was like wide-eyed, ready to go with that one. He's like, I want to ask Bruce this question. And I'm like, he's the perfect guy to ask that to. Bruce, though, when it comes down to it, there is one thing that you have to look out for in this game, and that is, how have the Chiefs managed to win these close games? And this year it has been through their defense and its talent overall this year. With Buffalo banged up in the secondary now, Taylor Rapp not playing in this game, Christian Benford questionable due to a concussion, are you worried about any sort of potential defensive battle, seeing as how Kansas City would be healthier than Buffalo heading into this one on that side of the field?
Absolutely. They're trending in opposite directions. Since the last time the Buffalo Bills played them, the Buffalo Bills are less healthy in the secondary, and the Chiefs are more healthy with their offensive skill positions. They got Isaiah Pacheco back, although he's been splitting carries with Kareem Hunt and doesn't look like the same Isaiah Pacheco quite yet. You have the rise of playoff Travis Kelce, which is a completely different animal than regular season Travis Kelce, and you have Hollywood Brown now. So if you think about the one scenario where you didn't want to lose somebody, it was probably in the defensive secondary, because they're trending in one direction and you're trending in another direction. So absolutely, I get concerned about things like that. I think that one of the things that you look at is, even when the Kansas City Chiefs had an offense that wasn't putting up tremendous points earlier in the year, they were still leading the NFL in success rate, right? They were still controlling the ball. They were still keeping the game close. They were still being able to pull things out, because situationally they've proven to be one of the best teams in football history, situationally, over the last couple of years, because Patrick Mahomes can control a game like that when he has the ball in his hands. And that is a challenge when you have defensive secondary players who are out. Losing Taylor Rapp is concerning. If the Bills go in without Christian Benford, I'm very concerned at that point, because now you're trending in, you know, -2 to +2 on their end, right? They got back Pacheco. They got back Hollywood Brown, and you've lost. You're down 2 and they're up 2. So it's a swing of 4 players, and that's meaningful when it comes to that passing attack, and that changes the game.
So also, just looking at different positions for players on the Chiefs side of things, Joe Tooney is moving to, well, he moved to left guard, right? So that put an undrafted free agent at the left guard position, right? So what do you think that makes for the Bills' defensive line, who's actually been playing very well the past few weeks, really putting things together? And Von Miller's now matched up with Tooney on the outside on that side. But do you think they're going to be able to get to Mahomes, get some pressure home, throw some pressure on the quarterback?
That was one of the keys to the victory earlier this year, was that the defensive line came up with a really good game. And, you know, we talked about this a lot leading up to the Ravens game, that this defense is going to go as the interior defensive line takes them. And in games when they have performed well, the Bills defense has performed well. And in games where they haven't performed well, the Bills defense has not performed well. There's a very strong correlation between the play of the interior defensive line for the Buffalo Bills and the play of the defense as a whole. And if you think about last playoffs, Ed Oliver disappeared against the Chiefs and just got engulfed. Well, Tooney's not there anymore. He's on the left tackle side. And we're not talking enough about how well Joe Tooney has done sliding over to left tackle and just being like, yeah, sure, I'm a left tackle now, and playing at a high level because he's awesome. That's what he does. But if you move over and vacate that left guard spot, you bring in an undrafted free agent, and now you face Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones, and you shut him down, the drumbeat for the Buffalo Bills defensive line, after all the resources invested this offseason, is going to be big. It's going to be meaningful, because you're going to want a defensive line that performs like your offensive line does. So it's one of those scenarios where you almost feel like you can tell in the first couple of drives if the Bills' defensive line on the interior is able to get pressure and push people back and make plays, you feel good about your chances. And if they don't, you start getting concerned.
Yeah, Bruce, that's a pain point. The defensive line in playoff losses has typically been on an underwhelming side. But let's talk about the positives with the defensive line. You mentioned how the interior is going to be important in this game. And I think since the halfway point of this season, Ed Oliver has become Ed Oliver again. And it is very important for that resurgence to form to have happened here heading into the AFC Championship game.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a player that you kind of paid based on the trajectory you thought he was on, right? Ironically enough, the Spencer Brown contract and the Ed Oliver contract are similar. They were both signed at players where they had a good year, they had a not good year, you kind of thought maybe they were on the upswing, and in both cases, the year immediately after their contract extension, they really played well. Ed Oliver's best season was last season until you got to the playoffs, right? And for Spencer Brown, same thing. He signed this offseason. This has been clearly his best season. He's getting national publicity. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, look what Spencer Brown turned into. And so it's a matter of, did you leave a bad taste in your team's mouth? And last year, we were all feeling really good about the Ed Oliver contract, and he was all like, hey, look, I'm going to make them all shut up. And he did. And then all the way up until the Chiefs game in the playoffs. Well, now it's time again. So as he goes, so too does that Bills interior defensive line. And it's going to be something that I am immediately locked into early on in the game.
So Bruce, looking at also the NFC matchup, Eagles, Commanders, if the Eagles advance, this is kind of where my head's been at, and the Bills advance, that gives the opportunity for the NFC East to completely run the table on the Bills and
Super
Bowls. Hate you
for bringing this up.
And I just want to get your thoughts on that. Are you nervous about that at all? Like, I know it's a lot to think about ahead of time, but is that where your head's at, or are you just focusing on this?
I'm not nervous about it because of that. I'm nervous about it because my brother is a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Oh, I gotcha.
So I would very much not like to have to deal with that because, number one, he's going to want to get together for the Super Bowl if the Bills get there. And I'm going to want to not to get together for the Super Bowl. So there's going to be a social gathering I'm going to have to decline. And then also I have to deal with that nonsense if the Buffalo Bills lose. So I'm not interested. Plus, I'll level with you. Every one win that the Commanders get is just one more stab into the little gut of Dan Snyder. So
yes.
Let's go Commanders.
Yes.
Let's make it happen.
Bruce, I knew I could count on you for the right answers. I always knew that. Finally, your final thoughts here heading into this game. If you are a prediction man, I'll let you put one here. I'm not because I know my jinxing powers at this point, so I've even just stopped entirely.
I am not a prediction man. However, I will say that there is an eerie sense of calm around this team for this matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a different animal. I think it's a different vibe. I think it's their best chance. And I'm going in with that same level of calm because they seem to be calm. That this is a team that can play. I know it's a buzzword around the Buffalo Bills and not always necessarily a positive one. They can play complementary football. This is the kind of thing we've been talking about. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills beat a really, really good team last week, and Josh Allen was Clark Kent. He wasn't Superman. He can still be that, but he doesn't always need to be on every snap. And the fact that he doesn't need to be makes the moments where he is more meaningful. So for the Buffalo Bills, the idea that you can do that, that you can assure your quarterback, hey, you know what? Now's the time. Go do that thing. But then, you know what? We're going to have you hand off the ball a couple times, and you don't have to freak out because we're still going to get the first down. We're still going to ice this game with Ty Johnson and unbelievable blocking, which we almost completely glazed over that. The fact that the Buffalo Bills, first and 10, you need a first down to close out the Ravens. All of a sudden, you hand the ball off once, he gets it, it's over. Like, there was no struggle at all to do that. They knew you were running to run out the clock. That's the type of confidence that you can have when your offensive line is playing this well. And that's the type of thing that gives you an eerie sense of calm going into the game. And I have an eerie sense of calm going into the game. I would not be surprised if we're having a conversation in a couple days about the Buffalo Bills going to the first Super Bowl since the 1990s.
Bruce, saying it just makes it feel that much cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Like being able to say it out loud, whether it's here on the station with your podcast. By the way, go ahead and grab that. It's the Bruce exclusive on all those podcast platforms. It just to be able to say that and it legitimately means something and be able to throw its weight around. I feel like that's the most fun part in all of this, is being able to say that, and it really does mean something.
Yeah, it really does. And it means something to this city. It means something to this team. It means something to these players. It means something to the narrative. And I think really that team has connected with this fan base. It's connected with the idea that there's nobody out there who wants to rub it in people like Jerry Coleman's face every day more than Buffalo Bills fans, because we all know a Jerry Coleman, right? We grew up with a Jerry Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
We had people in our lives who said the exact same thing. Boy, I love losing Super Bowls.
Yep.
We had people make fun of us on the playground. We had people say, you're a Bills fan, why? We've all listened to things like that growing up, and it's a high time to shut them up. And when this time comes, when we get to say, no, I'm sorry, you're wrong, that's done, we get to go, you know what? Thank you, Buffalo Bills, for removing this from my life, from giving me that sense of relief, and for being able to stick it to people like that. And that's what I want.
Bruce, thank you. I enjoy your time as always. It was great to be able to catch up with you. I hope you watch this game in the most pleasant of circumstances. And I hope that we talk again with a lot more on the line.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me. Go Bills.
Thanks,
Bills.
Bruce. Go
Bruce
Bills.
Bruce Nolan of the Bruce Exclusive joining us there on the West Her Hotline.
It's cool to even,
we're not even there yet.
No, it's cool to even mention, though, they're one game away and actually have a chance. Like,
and actually
in
have
2020,
that chance.
I don't know what the discourse was around here because I wasn't here yet, but.
So the funny thing was is that it was also a bare bones operation.
Yeah, because of COVID.
COVID protocols were still well into place.
Mm-hmm.
And like not as many fans could go out and enjoy it.
Yeah, this is the first. Like,
this is the first time
real.
Now socially.
Mm-hmm.
That you could go out in full force mm-hmm. with this. And this is also, I did not work that championship game last year. I was not here for that.
Mm-hmm.
I was at home recovering from a hip surgery.
That's right. That's
I was
right.
holed
That's
up.
Right. Yes.
So I couldn't go anywhere. I was in crutches the whole nine yards,
oh,
man.
Oh, God.
But the big thing was I couldn't really go and enjoy watching it with others either.
Mm-hmm.
That was the other thing.
It wasn't a social experience, unfortunately.
Social experience, you didn't really get that.
Yeah.
The best I had was a couple of friends and I. We watched the game together and were on a Discord server.
Yeah. That's how things happen. Xbox parties, all that
exactly.
stuff. Yeah.
So it was a lot different in a social sense, too.
Yeah.
Whereas tomorrow,
this is it.
You, me, Evan, everyone, the nine yards.
Too legit to quit, baby.
We're all here.
Yes.
Tomorrow. As a workplace, we are all together
mm-hmm.
through hell and high water tomorrow.
Yeah.
For the biggest game that we have seen, and for all of us at a certain age group, it is the biggest game that we will have watched.
Yep. With the most stakes.
With the most stakes. And to be able to do it with people together.
Yeah. I do. Can I make one PSA before we go to break?
I just want to finish this thought first.
Absolutely.
The social change between the last time the Bills were in the championship game versus now.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I mean by enjoy it. I mean, there is a legitimate chance that they lose this game. The Kansas City Chiefs did not win 15 games. Okay, maybe they won some of them by fluke. But they won 15 games.
They're a notable team.
It's not even that. They're going for a three-peat. That is not a fluke.
No.
That's not a mistake. That's not something that just happens. They are a legitimate threat. And because of that, you have to be sure. Like Bruce said, there's a strange amount of calm going on here. And I've got a mix of it. I've got like this like angry pit because it's the Chiefs and how they've ruined the Bills' seasons more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a real sense of nerves. Because this is the biggest game that I have gotten to see from the Buffalo Bills in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Ditto.
And I also have a sense of being heckin' ready to go because this is the biggest game I've watched in my lifetime.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And that's all of us as a part of the radio network. We're all in like the same age group. That's minus, I mean,
I'm a tad older than you guys, but like me and Nate were the same age group, but like,
yeah, but we all haven't seen a game like that.
At that time, I'm 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anything of watching a football game.
Right. That's like me when the Sabres were good. I was like 6 years old. Like, there's no shot. I'm digesting a hockey game.
I'm not capable of remembering anything of that.
Yeah.
So now here it is. Ready to go.
In front of our faces.
In front of our faces. The biggest game that we will have watched as two of the younger generations.
Mm-hmm.
And for the older generations, this is the biggest game that you have seen.
Since? Oh, God. There are a couple other ones. But
I'm talking in the social aspect.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the biggest game that we will watch together.
In recent history.
In Buffalo since those 90s teams.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, 4 years ago, we weren't able to be together. And that's the part that really excites me.
Yeah. The camaraderie of it all.
Also low-key terrifies me, but we'll get into that.
Yeah. Live by the sword, die by the sword. One PSA I want to make. I've seen Bills fans start tweeting this some on Twitter. Or X. It is, who was a Bills fan before it was cool? Let's not start gatekeeping the fan base, please.
Don't need to.
Like, let's not do that because everybody's at an all-time high right now.
Because the answer is everybody.
Everybody.
Anybody who has been a Bills fan since before it was cool.
And these people are, like, explaining themselves. Like, no one needs to explain themselves how you became a Bills fan.
Ready?
Like,
if you became a Bills fan 3 years ago,
welcome.
Welcome.
That's
power
it.
To you.
Yeah.
If you became a Bills fan this year,
welcome.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. First of all, you were coming in at a bit of an expected low point.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome.
There's your
You're joining Deadpool, at a bit of a low point.
There's your Deadpool homage. But again, there's no
gatekeeping.
There's no bandwagon time to have become a Bills fan.
No.
Are you kidding me? Franchise has zero Super Bowls to their name.
Mm-hmm.
There's no gatekeeping here.
No.
Because at any point that you have joined as a Bills fan, it was before it was cool.
Yes. Even now.
Even now. Because the opponent that they face tomorrow has beaten you 3 out of the last 5 postseasons that you have been a part of. It's been them. You want to talk about jumping onto a team before it was cool? You look at Kansas City, you don't look here. Because it was never cool. It was never cool to be a Bills fan. And we do it anyway. Even the newbies are still nerds being shoved in a locker like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Do not gatekeep it. Be fun. Have fun.
I saw that. I had to say something.
And that's good.
Yeah.
That is good to point out. Before it was cool. Bro, when has this been cool?
When has it ever been cool?
When has this been cool at all?
It's been cool recently.
It's been cool recently.
For longtime fans finally seeing it.
To varying degrees, but it's never been all the way cool.
No.
We're all hipsters. Get over it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no gatekeeping. No gatekeeping.
No gatekeeping. No feeling self-important on this. We're all here together.
Yeah.
No matter when you joined, welcome. Let's have some fun tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
803-0550 is the number to call. We got to get through Booty Cheek of the Week first because there were some weird things that happened around the league. And we got to poke fun at that. And then we'll get back to business. And we've got 2 hours straight of time for your calls starting at noon here on WGR. I know it's serious this weekend. I know that
it's all business.
But again, if we get rid of traditions, we become a lawless society. But also, the NFL coaching carousel became a nightmare tire fire. Oh my God.
Yeah, bad.
So, you and I talked about this off the air, what we were going to do with this. And first of all, I want to punch at two teams.
Mm-hmm.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
Just for messing up your coaching timeline.
Mm-hmm.
You fire Mike McCarthy a week after and were unable to interview either Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn, both of whom got hired immediately when the Lions
we're eliminated.
No bueno.
Nice job, Jerry. And you wanted to block the Bears from interviewing McCarthy for what reason? Because they're the ones that got Ben Johnson, by the way. They wanted to talk to McCarthy. If you let that happen, say the Bears liked him, you would have had a chance at Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Nice job, Jerry. You're a goof.
Wow. GMs that end with Airy. Interesting.
Well, I mean, he's not even a GM. He's the owner.
Oh, that's right.
Just stop doing, doing the extra job, Jerry.
Yeah. I meant owners that end with Airy. Sorry, that was a miscue on my end. I'm veiling
something.
Oh, boy. Yeah, but anyway.
Anyway, but then there's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole carousel with Liam Cohn, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, just, you know, basically he's dictating what happens with that team, everything. Like, it's just like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, that timeline got messy and fast.
You had Adam Schefter talking about, I've never been this upset over a coaching thing. You know, like, it's like, it's got people genuinely aggravated because he just strong-armed the entire team and just did what he wanted.
He strong-armed two teams into doing what he wanted.
The Bucs? It was the biggest, like, oh my God. I can't even put it into words. It's just crazy.
It was messy.
The crazy money move
and
he made.
And that turns me to my primary target, Trent Baalke.
Yeah.
How bad of a person do you have to be to work with that you create power struggles with two franchises?
Yeah.
Only to be shown with egg on your face at the end of both of them. There was a power struggle. Doug Peterson gets fired. Baalke stays. But in San Fran, is a power struggle with Jim Harbaugh, and Baalke stays. The Niners crash out. Baalke gets fired. And he ends up in Jacksonville. And he still doesn't prove to necessarily be a good general manager again. But then he doesn't get fired when everyone's like, there are reports coming out that coaches will not work with Jacksonville or be hired in Jacksonville if Baalke's the GM. And they keep him. And then predictably, Liam Cohen goes ahead and says, nah, I'm not going for the job because Baalke's still there. Mm-hmm. Then they fire Baalke. And Cohen mysteriously comes back.
Yeah.
That's not a mistake. Trent Baalke must be a terrible person. He started all of it. It's all Trent Baalke's fault.
It's ridiculous.
Terrible. Hilariously bad. All right. When we come back, though,
Bills Chiefs.
Let's get back on business. Mm-hmm. And get back on business with all of you. 803-0550 is the number to call. Because it's Bills Chiefs time. Let's get it here on Sports Talk Saturday.